Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is the 30th, I think, of March.
Yeah. 30th.
March 30th.
This month.
Ooh. Three months in. Quarter of the year already.
Wow.
We're going to just jump right into it because there's so much to discuss. There's so many layers to discuss. So actually, we'll do what you're watching and all that shit.
We're actually going to do all that stuff? Okay.
Well, if we have time. If we have time. But I think this is the biggest story, obviously, of...
the decade
exactly. So we want to tell me, nigga, you're tripping, because you know sometimes I, as y'all know, I be bugging the fuck
yes
out.
You be tripping sometimes.
I'll be tripping, I admit that, you know, for years I've been like, yeah, I'll be bugging sometimes. But I actually would like to start this segment about the Oscars with Sean, because Sean is the person here who has a famous spouse, a spouse that has taken heat, I guess, for lack of a better term, on social media. And I would just kind of like to know your perspective of this, bro, you know, because, you know, and if I'm putting you on the spot, I say, nigga, you tripping.
Yeah, no. No, you're okay. Not putting me on the spot.
Okay. No. You know, I kind of wanted to get your perspective, and then we'll go into everything. But I haven't even spoken. But I really have been thinking about, like, you know, someone who's in that space where you have a spouse who niggas be, you know, talking crazy about the time.
Yeah,
be trying shit, like, you know, and you know, we know Brian, no punk, you know what I'm saying? And then he's had to, you know, bite his tongue and I'm sure restrain himself, speaking for him now, but bite his tongue, restrain himself on several occasions. And so I kind of wanted to get your perspective on this thing, and then we'll just move into everything else.
So you are correct. I have bitten my tongue and I've had some level of restraint for several reasons. Those reasons are bigger picture, and in the moment, I would love to be able to, right, like, as the man of the house, right, like, my job is to always jump in front of the bullets.
And protect.
And so there is something that is really disheartening, maybe the wrong word, but there's something that really makes you feel a little unable to protect in social media spaces, because they're strangers, right? Like, they're strangers in a faraway land, right? Mm-hmm. Almost like,
right, you can't get to them.
You can't get to them. And what I found was that a lot of the people that do and say those things as a way for engagement.
Hoping you'll say something back.
Yes. That's really what they're hoping for. I don't, because, you know, like, once you, I'm of the mindset that once you open the door, you can't close it. Mm-hmm. Once you start to engage, you can no longer not engage.
Yeah.
You know, where is your line?
It brings going? More people. They come.
It brings, exactly. It just brings, and I'm also a firm believer of letting things die a natural death. You know, if you can get through them 24 or 36 hours, right? Like that first wave of the overwhelmingness that happens, then you're going to be fine. That takes some tough skin. That takes some learning and that takes some adjusting. And what I will say is that all of the shit that I've ever seen online, none of that has ever presented itself in person. Mm. Never, ever. Have I been with my wife that someone has said something out of line? Now, that could very well be because of my presence. it could also very well be because motherfuckers talk shit online and they be wanting to get an interview. Or, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's always a bunch of different things. And what I found kind of early on was that I would twist myself out in a way that was not healthy for me. Also, it's also very, like, none of that shit actually protects the person, right? They're still exposed. And now my goal as a husband has always been to never make my wife's job harder, to never make her have to answer for me and my actions. And I never wanted my children to feel like this sense of overwhelmed. So what'll happen is like, let's just say, for example, that there is this tension of all of these things happening. Right. If no one is calm, if everyone is wound up, right, then there's no one sort of leading the pack. There's no one giving calm direction. There's no one. And I don't know if you guys saw the clip of like the shooting at the Cancun airport where the lady was
like,
calm down. Okay.
Calm down. Stop crying and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. And figure out where these shots are coming from so we get the fuck out of here safe. Right. Like, so there's that person. And as a man, right, like you have to be that person, even when you don't want to be that person, even when you're angry, even when you want to lash out. And also, there's a very clear, like, I got shit to lose. Like, me, I have real shit to lose. And I'm not talking about, obviously, your family and the respect and all of those sorts of things. I'm talking about actual shit. I'm talking about tangible. Right. Property,
things
like that. You will be in court. I can assure you, you will be in court. And so, again, you have to take some of that with the back. Also, another thing that I started to notice is that you can't be on social media if you're going to look at 1,000 comments and take the 25 terrible comments and make them weigh down the 975 other great comments and comments, right? Like, there has to be some level of balance. And, you know, you get to that point where you don't know those people. They're talking shit. They're talking shit behind, you know, a private page or whatever the case might be. It's whatever. And we see it on Twitter all the time. You know, people who, you know, they say really mean and nasty and hurtful shit. And they do it from behind this, you know, facade or some sort of character.
This persona.
Maybe that's their outlet. You know, I don't think everyone is like the fucking, I don't think it's the end of the world for everything. But I also know that a lot of people do this as almost like it's almost cathartic for them to feel like they can attack people and do so in a way that there's no retribution. There's no
consequences.
Because will even get mad online, at least. They'll even get mad if they say something about, I'll say a bold-faced personality, not even necessarily like a full, like a celebrity or even just like a personality that people know. Sometimes they'll be like offended that the personality had the nerve to respond to them. Like, how dare you actually see my comment and reply to it? You know what I'm saying? That.
And it's like, you've been fighting for your life on the internet for like a smooth 36 hours. People are, I don't know how you do it now.
This, okay, well, with this shit, it don't matter because it's not about me. I don't give a fuck. Like, it varies, but I really don't know. I think the way some people have to do it is like, you stay to your mentions or you have filters or you just block folks. And the way I do it varies. And Sean was saying sometimes you have to be careful how you engage. Sometimes I get off on the engagement, and I'm an Aries. We like to debate and argue and shit. So sometimes I enjoy it, and then I got to stop. Or what I actually enjoy is when people are trying to make me mad, and I don't get mad, and I'm just hitting them with logic, and they get frustrated and tap out. It's like a game. But yeah. But to your point, Sean, it's like you're relatively anonymous too on the internet, so I imagine you got to try to stay low.
Well, I do that. I do that for my own. First of all, my wife is famous. I am not.
Right.
And famous, I'm using that again. That's a relative.
I know what you're saying. I know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's funny because people, I find myself telling her to be quiet more than telling her. Her voice is so distinctive that it's recognizable immediately.
Right.
So
you'd be like,
I specifically, like, my page is private because they're fucking weirdos. They're weirdos. Yeah. And my IG page is not a business page. It's my real page. I remember my sister's death on my page. I show pictures of my children on my page. Like, it's a very personal. And listen, if you're not a weirdo, then, you know, by all means, come in and enjoy the
party. Come enjoy the party. Be there.
But when you're following 8,000 people and you only have, you know, 20 people following you and you got this weird ass name and no posts, my assumption is you're a fucking weirdo.
Right. Yep.
And so I keep all of that out. You know, Twitter, IG, and even Facebook to some degree, all of this social media is something that you are able to dictate. The information and the opinions that you see are based on the people that you follow and the people that you engage with. Mm-hmm. So you have the option to check out on that. You can unfollow people, all of that sort of shit. So it don't really move me in that way.
Well, and again, I was going to say, I know you said you didn't, nobody's ever stepped to you in person, but I am curious because one thing about your wife and part of the dialogue with Jada is that your wife is a very strong personality. She don't take no shit, right? Publicly known for that. Obviously you don't have an apples to apples comparison, but part of what people are speculating about is that Will physically defended Jada to shift this idea that, like, Jada's running the marriage or that he's weak or that he's something like that. And I'm just wondering, not because that's your dynamic with your wife, but because she is such a strong personality, is that something that you understood or saw or anything?
I think that's a very particular question for a specific, like specifically for them. Like, I don't think that there's a broad way, because in no way am I overwhelmed with the notion of that.
Right.
Like my circle is not one that thinks that. The people that I love and care about aren't people that think that. So it doesn't penetrate me. Like, that water never gets onto my ship to sink it.
Right.
So
it
doesn't. But I can understand how that perception can be a little overwhelming. Like, I always tell the story about how this motherfucker that I had never met was telling me how lucky I am. And I'm like,
you don't know me or her.
Like, you don't know me. Like, I wasn't some fucking vagrant wandering the street. You know what I'm saying? And she, like, cleaned me up, nigga. Like,
you won, nigga.
Yeah, right. Like, fuck is you talking about?
Niggas always look at the end of the story. I can say this for Will, and we'll go into the whole Oscars thing. It's a quick thing. Like, I worked with Will a bit at Jive.
When he was married to Cherie.
Yes, he was married to Cherie at this time. And I was the A&R person for them, but ended up being their last album on Jive. So I spent a little bit of time with Will, not a lot, because he was living in LA and obviously we're New York, but he would a little bit. So I'm not saying I'm his friend or like. No, I'm actually cooler with Charlie Mack. I spent more time with Charlie than Will. But anyway, I did get to spend some time with Will. And not the violent part, right? But the guy you saw, I'm not trying to condone the violent part, but the guy you saw, that is really Will. I'm not saying that he's been fronting for all these years, because he is a, you know, funny guy.
He's a fucking West Philly.
Yeah, but that's really him. So when that happened, I was like, that's Will. Y'all just did. The example I use, or the analogy I use, is when I remember when Q-Tip dropped the Vibrant
thing.
And everybody was like, yo, your man tipped on, switched up. Now you got the girls and the fly shit on.
I know, that was always true.
That's him.
Yeah.
You guys just didn't know it. He just got into the space where he was willing to show you who he, and not in a bad way, but that's a Q-Tip like fly shit. He used to sell me his coats and shit. I go, you want this? Right. He likes girls. Like, I'm just, and it's the same thing with Will, like kind of in a obviously steroided moment, but this was really Will showing you kind of like you said, West Philly, born and raised. And, he's, and also, you know what I'm saying? That's really, that's part, that's, but, that's, I should say that's not really, that's part of who he is. I don't want to say that's deep,
but I think that that's important that we know that the problem we have with a lot of celebrities is that we don't allow them to be complete people. They either have to be one or the other. Like, everything has to be this very, very extreme thing. And so we think that because we see Will being very cordial, he's being very funny, that we tend to think, we associate that shit with being a sucker or with being a dude that don't have the gumption to go and slap the shit out of you. And and yes, he can slap somebody and still take the kids to the soccer game, bring the orange slices, that doesn't mean that he's gonna go, like, we take every hint of aggression or violence
and say, well, Sean froze, but I was gonna say, I think what he was about to say,
somebody being Charles Manson, it's not that, my guy.
It's not that. It's exactly.
And that's, well, one of the things, and I don't know, Jeffrey, how you wanted to get into this conversation, but a couple of the thoughts I wanted to get off the top of my head is, the first thing is, and Jeff, you know this, for me has been there's two parts of it. It's the way Black people are reacting and the way white people are reacting. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, Black people, I did want to talk about that.
Yeah, Black people have already kind of come through the full cycle because we're tired and also because the white people are wearing us out, right? And the white people are pushing us on sides together. So at first, I think what the problem was with this situation was people were trying to argue binaries. Who's right? Who's wrong? And this is not a case of either one of them being clear cut. This one's all the way right. This one's all the way wrong. They're both fucking wrong in their actions, but also, like, I can understand certain things with both of them. So just for those who don't know, because I'm realizing some people still don't know, Chris first talked shit about, and I'm just going to say it as that, talked shit about Jada in 2016 when he hosted the Oscars. That year, Will and Jada boycotted, along with a few other actors, on, like, the, I think that might have been like the first Oscar So White year, or the year before Oscar So White.
I think it was the year before, but it was
the year before, it was, but like, it was like, no, the beginning.
It was like no black
no black nominees
at all.
And Chris's joke was like, but Chris's joke was directed to Jada, not Will, who was already an Oscar nominee, you know, had been Oscar nominated.
6 degrees? Was it 6 degrees? I think.
Oh, it's like he went for six. No, he had been nominated for
Ali. He didn't win. Oh, Ali. Yeah, it was Ali.
Yeah, right, he had been nominated for Ali.
Yeah.
So he was already an Oscar nominee, obviously, you know, beloved member of the Academy, but blockbuster. He's like on the end of the blockbuster tip, whatever. But Chris's joke was like, that's like me saying I'm boycotting Rihanna's panties. I was never invited, you know, but if I'm invited, I'm going. So that was clearly towards Jada, because obviously Will Smith is invited to the Oscars. He's a member of the Academy. And apparently he has also said some things about her in his stand-up over the years, right? So this was a thing, like, Jada was interviewed about it. Chris was interviewed about it at the time. They were trying to, like, blow it off. Like, whatever, we're not thinking about that. We got shit going on over here. Blah, 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 boom, boom, bam, bam, bam. So Chris is a presenter. And this is the part I really have to highlight, because people are a little like, it was just a joke. Comedians say things, blah, blah, blah. I need everybody to be very, very clear. Chris is a little older than Will, but for all intents and purposes, at this stage in their respective careers, they are peers. Mm-hmm. They are equally wealthy, equally established. They are basically the same generation, right? These also are three people of about the same age who are from similar backgrounds: Brooklyn, Baltimore, West Philly. This, me, and we, and, you know, most of us here, with the exception of Inca, but you're an Xennial, but we're Xers. So we understand, we have the same code. We know the same lines. We know the same barometers of what you do and don't do, right?
I identify as Xennial, by the way.
Okay, that's it. Okay. And we have the same.
This nigga here.
So we know the same codes. We know the same lines. Chris has also done a documentary in 2019 about Black women in a relationship with their hair.
Yeah, good hair.
Good hair. So Chris comes out. He says something to Denzel about Macbeth. He says something to, I think, Sam. I don't remember what he said, though. He says to Jada, not to Will. Will is the nominee. He says mm-hmm. to Jada, Jada, love you. You know, G.I. Jane 2, can't wait. Right? So, like, first of all, this is a damn 20-something-year-old movie, right? Secondly, it's clearly a shot.
It might be more than 20, actually.
Yeah.
It might be
25. And everybody who be trying to be like, oh, but Demi Moore was a badass in G.I. Jane 2. That's not the fucking point. The point is a Black man took a shot at a Black woman's appearance. Even if you don't want to get into the complexities of the hair, a Black woman's appearance, while her husband's sitting right there.
Mm-hmm.
And when people like, but comedians do it all the time, I challenge anybody to give me an example of a comic on a stage the caliber of the Oscars directing a joke at a nominee's wife. Find that. Send that to me. Because let me tell you what wouldn't happen. He wouldn't have done it to LaTanya Jackson. He wouldn't have done it to Pauletta fucking Washington, right?
He wouldn't have done it to Beyonce.
He would not have done that
with Jay-Z sitting there.
Or with Jay sitting there. And like, so when people are like, there's been a lot of conversations about Will knew who to try. No, Chris knew who to try. Because yeah.
It was low hanging fruit for Chris. He thought it was anyway.
Yeah, Will is Mr. Hollywood. Well,
also, I don't mean to jump in, but are we sure? Because I haven't gotten clarity on the writer of that joke. Because Chris
no,
is not.
No, the Academy confirmed that it was ad libbed.
Okay.
Yeah, ABC was like, we ain't do that. Leave us out of it. Some sports writer in Tampa said that he got confirmation that they did. And I was like, this is a white sports writer in Tampa. This was a Black. That's why I didn't think they wrote. It was a Black writing room. I was like, there's no way that shit passed vetting from more than one Black person. It was off the cuff. It came from Chris. And it also sounded like a Chris joke, if that makes sense. Because it wasn't funny. The shit wasn't funny at all. It
wasn't funny at all.
There was nothing.
See, that was my part of the joke. I thought it was not only did I think it wasn't funny, but I felt it was very mean. It was mean-spirited.
Yes.
It wasn't like a joke. I'm using air quotes. It was like a dig.
And it was a different dig.
And other things that we heard all through the night were jokes, clearly. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? This was like a personal dig.
Like
you know
the Smiths saying? Were in on it with the other things. This yeah. even with, because people like, they didn't get mad at Regina. And I was like, that clearly they were, that was something where it felt like they were in on it. This one was a dig. And also, again, remember going into this, they weren't good with him. He knows they're not good with him, right? Mm-hmm. You have to remember that. He knows they're not good with him. And this is how he chooses to move. So where I come from, Black man gets at another Black man's wife in Black man's presence. You're not only disrespecting the wife, you're disrespecting that man. You're actually-
You ain't gonna do shit. You ain't gonna do shit.
Yeah, you're using the disrespect of the wife to disrespect the man. And I think that's part of what some people are also missing, because there's this whole conversation about Will saying he had to protect his family and him defending Jada. And they're like, that suggests Jada's helpless. We all know Jada Pinkett Smith is not fucking helpless. We all are very clear on that. But the way respect works for Black folks, you respect one of us, you respect everybody in the fucking family. All of us. You just respect everybody. We like the Italians and shit. Like we might.
Yeah,
all
we ain't fucking with you.
Yeah, it's like, you just respect the whole lineage. Like,
and he knew that. He knew that. And he came out anyway. You know what I'm saying?
And did that.
And it was like, so, yeah.
So whether or not he knew Jada had alopecia.
Which I don't think he did.
Which he may not have, even though she announced it last year. But my thing is, you made this documentary in 2009 with your daughters, with your Black daughters in mind. Your comics, I know people say comics should be able to talk about people. Comics, if you have to be mean to get a joke off, you're not a good comic. You're not a good comedian. You can make jokes about people without it going to a mean or shock value place. And there still, I believe, should be a sense of responsibility. So my thing is, like, you are a 57-year-old Black man. You know good and hell well not to play around with a joke about a black woman who has shaved her head, because you don't know what it is. You have no idea.
And to be quite honest, if we keeping it a buck,
yeah,
there's a lot of movies that he could have made a joke on in her filmography.
Absolutely,
that would have hit and been one more funny and more appropriate.
Right,
100%. Right.
He could have got it. Woo! He could have done it. Well,
he could have said she's a new member of the Dora Milaje, and it wouldn't have felt like an insult.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But you
and people like he was trying to compliment her. I'm like, when have you ever, ever heard Chris Rock compliment a woman ever?
I don't think he. I don't think the joke was mean spirited from the alopecia perspective.
No, but it was mean spirited. Just towards taking a dig at Jada.
I definitely think he was taking a dig at her. And I definitely feel like it was a continuation from 2016. Definitely feel like Chris is, I mean, so the thing about comedy, we only see the end result of a comedian. Right. Like, we never see them working out that material. And this sounds to me like the kind of material that you would have said, like, at the Comedy Cellar, and it may not have hit and probably would never have made it to a special because it wasn't a great joke. And he just actually tried it out in the, it was a perfect storm of bad shit.
Yeah. So I want to ask this question. Like, I picked up right away that it was real, but obviously it was a lot of like, wait, what the fuck? Like, when did y'all figure out that it was, when did you figure out that it was real?
At the moment, I have a lot of things to say, but let me just answer that question.
At
the moment that it happened, she ain't still. I was giving her rowdy ass a bath because we were at grandma's house and she should have already been asleep, but she does whatever she wants there, including eating red things on the white couch. So
I saw you too about that.
I was in awe. Like, is this really happening? But anyway, so I knew. Because Trav sent me a text that was like, what the fuck was that just now? And I was like, what happened? Oh my God. And so I missed it initially, but then the first I saw of it was on the Twitter feed when the people in Japan, whoever.
Oh, the Japanese feed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, had put up the unmuted version. And I was like, oh, he wanted to kill that nigga. I will say it was the most respectful way that he could disrespect him back. The open-handed slap that he pulled back a little bit from.
It was a gentleman slap.
Exactly. Chris didn't even have to like fix his jacket.
Chris didn't everything have to brush his lapel off.
I shall thrash.
I think
you.
It was the, yeah. Exactly. It was
like if he had a glove. Yes, exactly. He's like he needs to take a glove off. Like
the nigga didn't even adjust his collar, and then smoothly turned around and walked back to his.
He also strolled up there, and that's the part I think confused Chris and confused everybody. That's actually the part that confused everybody because I was co-hosting a watch room on Clubhouse. And somebody in the room was playing audio. My TV was like 30 seconds faster than the audio. So I'm watching a picture that's ahead of what I'm hearing, which helped confuse it because I heard the smack. But then when I saw it, it looked like a punch. So I thought it was a sound effect because I was like, a punch that would sound like that, Chris would have recoiled. And Chris didn't move, really. I mean, I know he did now with all the still shots, but it didn't look like it in real time. And I was like, so then again, I have my volume down. I'm listening through, but everybody, I can't even hear what the audio is because everybody's like, what's going on? What's going on? And then it was just quiet. But I'm seeing the lips move. So I'm like, y'all got audio? Is y'all's audio out? And I realized we were trying to figure out, is it a skit? Is it not? And I realized that it was real when they did a close-up on Will's face, and I saw that his eyes were glassy. So I cry when I'm really, really mad. And it's like, it's a weird thing. It's like my throat closes up, and I literally can't get oxygen, and it makes me teary-eyed.
Yeah,
and
Will's lip was, like, trembling when he was screaming at him.
When I saw that, I was like, and I could tell he was yelling, but it took me a minute to figure out what he was saying. I was like, whatever the fuck this shit is real. But what happens? Because I think I had looked away from the screen right after the G.I. Jane shit and missed like the details of whatever the fuck was going on. So then, of course, I'm going on Twitter and I was like, does anybody have the audio? What did he say? People are like, we could read it. He said, keep my wife's name out your motherfucking mouth, blah, 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 blah. So obviously shocked, right? Obviously shocked because, and I have a theory that what a lot of people are really reacting to is not the fact that Will Smith, it's not the fact that Will slapped Chris. It's the fact that Will slapped Chris in black tie on the Oscars live telecast, mm-hmm. you know, international broadcast, right? And not just the black people on some, oh, you know, you're confirming stereotypes, but that's what the white people are mad about because they hate being faced with conflict mm-hmm. and visual discomfort. If we woke up Monday and the headline said Will Smith slapped Chris Rock outside of Vanity Fair party, it's jokes and memes for 3 days and we done.
Yeah.
I don't think it's any of this. It's because of the visual. And what's crazy is that I think the visual of Chris cussing, I mean, Will cussing Chris out was actually the stronger than, because that's where he looked angry. The slap.
Will cussing him out reminds me of like an old southern black man sitting on the porch. Yeah. Like, nigga, I told you. Like, it was
exactly.
It was that energy of like,
so it's the fact that he didn't even get up to him and cuss him out. He's at his seat like, he done already slapped him, and then he's at his seat like, keep my wife's name out your motherfucking mouth. Like, you know, and because the slap was so calm. It's like he strolled up there.
Right.
Yeah, but I think that's what confused Chris, because the stroll, I think he thought Will was going to come up there and almost like kind of make it a bit.
Yes.
Like you would come up there and be like, oh, yeah, yo, what about your movie, nigga?
And remember, this is live, right? So there is a... like you can't really like stop the show, which is why he says, oh, Will is coming, you know.
Exactly.
Oh, here we go. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was like, and even producers said they weren't even sure if it was a bit or not until Chris said, Will Smith just slapped shit out of me.
Well, clearly they weren't sure because the close-up immediately after.
They were like zoomed in on Will's face. They would have cut away. Yeah.
So that's part of what makes this so complex. Like it's so very nuanced. Like, I know we don't say that word anymore since I told Sean he says all the time, but there's the nuance of, there's the race level, black people and white people reacting to it differently. There is them being dressed up at this very fancy night. There is the history between the two of them as black men. There is the making fun of black women about their hair. There is the Chadwick Boseman layer, which is, exactly. We don't really know what is wrong with Jada or why her hair is that way, so we really shouldn't speak on it. There is the level of, what else was I going to say? Oh, we don't know these people. That's the biggest thing for me. It's like the people that were involved have said their piece, have seemingly made peace with it, and are moving on. Everything that I'm seeing on the internet about, like, you know, everybody's so triggered or traumatized, or, you know, I would have done the same thing, or please don't. Chris released an apology.
No.
No, that was a fake apology, actually.
They're saying that's really?
Tony Rock did.
Yeah, Tony was on some on-site shit. Like, nigga, stop, Tony. Yeah, I mean, I know you're from Brooklyn and all that, but, you know, run up on Will, like, in Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, like, Tony.
I get it. It's his brother. I get it.
But, you know, in the... First of all, knowing that your brother is the least likely to be violent person I've ever seen in my life, Chris Rock. Right? Yeah. So that is all.
And actually, out of all Chris's brothers, Tony is the most likely.
Your brother don't. He can't. That's not his bag. He's being a little big brother right now. Yeah. Right? Like, this is where I can come in and help.
I will say. Yeah, I agree that like both of them were wrong. I totally get that. I feel sad for the moments that this has overshadowed.
Questlove and my man Joseph Patel won an Oscar, and
I feel so bad.
He won an Oscar after a decade or whatever, how long the feat was to get this movie made. Finally gets it on streamies. They see that, you know, it's a good thing and gets it run on network, and then with the Oscar for it, and everybody's talking about what happened immediately before it.
Not just everybody really talking about it. He was in the wake of it too, because I think that's why he couldn't. I think that's why he was so flustered.
Because remember,
that was the award Chris was presenting.
And the other thing that we're...
I'm sure he knows.
Yeah, he's the Philly nigga. Yeah,
No, so somebody played... I'm sorry, Inca. Somebody played a clip. We had it on TikTok of when... Because that's the Oscar that Chris was presenting. But when Quest comes down, he daps Chris. I mean, he daps Will.
Philly.
And Chris was looking like, I know this nigga didn't just...
Philly, nigga, you know what I'm saying?
That's the other part.
Ran up on Will too, Bradley Cooper, because of Philly, Billy Bradley from Philly, like some Philly shit, like you know.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Jada also, like she's there that night supporting her family. She is getting these, you know, digs made at her, and I thought that was very fucked up of Chris to do. And now she's put in a position of having to defend this nigga, whether she agreed with what he did or not.
Then the
Williams family and that incredible movie and the story that was being told also got lost in this, because this was a huge moment for Will, for all the Williams. I feel terrible and sad about that. Yes, I
do. Okay, the Jada thing. I've seen a lot of assumptions that Jada was embarrassed and, you know, Jada's going to have to defend Will and Will treated her like, you know, she couldn't defend herself and Will took that moment to be selfish, which I think it was a little selfish, but I'm just kind of like, we know that Jada and Will don't have a typical marriage, right? And we know that this is out of character, public behavior for Will, 30 years of public life, 25 plus years of marriage. And I'm just like, I don't know either way, but the way some people, I'm not going to say all, because a lot of Black women, actually some who have surprised me have been like, motherfucking right, protect your wife. But the way some people have leapt to being actually mad at Will for making it seem like it was about Jada, instead of actually considering that he maybe was taking a cue from Jada, like, because at first Will was gonna do the normal Will, like, let me laugh this bullshit off until he saw Jada's face, right? And then if you guys saw the moment between them when he won, when they announced him and they put their foreheads together, that was some co-conspirator shit. Like, that wasn't no, I'm going to support you because the cameras weren't honest. That looked to me very like, we here, right?
The
thing about them is that, look, again, you know, and I'm going to say assume, because I guess we do know because of the Red Table Talk and stuff, but they don't have, air quotes, a traditional marriage in traditional senses. But even with that, the bottom line is, they've been together, what, at least 25?
Over 25 years, yeah.
Yeah, 25. There's two children of their own. They raised Trey, the first child, as their own. Like, they are a family unit. Now, maybe it's not the traditional kind of family unit, and, you know, who knows what each of them have done, but they still are a long-time married couple, and you cannot... This is, like you said, it's like Sam and his wife, or Denzel and his wife, or you know, Egypt. You cannot violate that, bro. You cannot.
Right. Yeah, regardless of what you're saying, that's still my wife. I still got to go home with this.
I want to also, let me also add a little bit here. So one of the things that I feel, and this is totally my opinion, is that Chris is a New York, New Jersey guy. He is not of that LA culture. He does not hang with them. He is not of that
scene. He still lives here. He never moved to LA.
Still lives here. So that's number one. So he doesn't really, in my opinion,
he's a little bit of
has the connections. He doesn't have the connections that they have internally, right? And the fights that they have. And by fights, I mean, like, you know, the Hollywood shit.
Mm-hmm.
Chris has been... He was married for 10 years and he's been divorced for, and he's been divorced for quite some time now.
I think
that those are also factors in feeling like those digs are okay. I think that when you don't have someone, or when you don't look at someone in that way, in that sort of protective mentality, you are more apt to be able to just think it's a joke.
Right.
Or not really understand it. Because we've all been in rooms where we're cordial, but we know that there might be one or two people that we don't really fuck with. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is we just don't go into that person's space. We don't cross paths with them. So to actively do that was really to me was just someone who was too old to have such a blind spot.
Well, that's my part.
Yeah. To a man and woman's relationship, whether or not I don't give a fuck about what their marriage is in terms of traditional, non-traditional, whatever. I don't give a shit. What I do know is it's a family. Okay. Exactly. And I know that if somebody needs to be called, ain't going to be nobody but them two. Okay, nigga, that's right. The emergency contact. Those are the beneficiaries, nigga. Those are the healthcare proxies.
That's it.
That's all the shit that matter, nigga.
That's who got the spare key.
Yeah. They have told us time and time again, there's two things that the Smiths have always said that have proven truth. The one thing is like, regardless of what the fuck ever, we are unified publicly as a married couple. And the second thing was like, divorce is not on the table. So, exactly. And the thing about the Red Table Talk, and we've mentioned this here before, this is what frustrates me about conversations around the Smiths. And this is, I think, why I have a lot of empathy for them. And I don't dislike Chris. I want to first say that. I don't necessarily dislike Chris. I'm actually surprised, though, that Chris has not gotten punched in the face yet.
Exactly. That's because what I was saying in the chat. It's like, I ain't seen it for this nigga in a while.
I've heard on good authority that he's been warned multiple times, like, yo, when we're in these fucking rooms, stay chill off out. Of us, meaning the black actors, like, stay off of us, get on these fucking white people. And, you know, Chris is at a level in his career where the only black comedian, especially now that like Paul Mooney's gone and shit, the only black elder he really has, aside from, what's his name, George Wallace, who kind of stays in the background, is Eddie. And Eddie ain't gonna fuck with like that.
Eddie, not, but here's the thing about Chris, we have to remember, Chris is, in my opinion, mm-hmm. far more comfortable in those white comedic spaces.
That's what I was getting to. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, he's far more comfortable in those spaces. And this is no judgment.
Gary and Louis C.K.
The complexity. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah, he doesn't. And so I don't think he sort of understands those little nuggets because you're just not around those people.
Well,
yeah,
and you could tell,
like, because when the shit popped off, I didn't see any of his black kind of actors and peers. Nobody stepped up for him.
Well, first of all, nobody black has been talking, period. Really.
Which I enjoy.
But I mean, even on the show, yeah. The actual show, like you said, Quest Dat the Will. Sam right. Jackson gave Will the big hug when he gave him the Oscar.
Yeah,
Denzel, like in Perry. And yeah. Like it was still like Will's room because, like Sean said, Will is in that world.
Yes.
And I think you said there have been times when niggas have told Chris, the fam, you're doing a little much. Well, and so it was almost kind of, the vibe almost is like, the nigga had it coming.
Nigga, we told you. Yeah. So I wanted to say that I did learn, I actually don't think it's relevant to this moment because Chris immediately reflected that he saw that Jada was pissed. But Chris apparently has nonverbal learning disorder, and it kind of presents as high-functioning autism, but what it means is that he does not read nonverbal cues well.
Pause.
Which sounds like, just a second. Yeah.
We don't say high-functioning anymore.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's extremely ableist.
But you don't say Asperger's anymore either, right?
We don't. So autism is a spectrum, and the lens of functionality has more to do with able-bodied people than with autists themselves. So if he has autism or a disorder, then that's what it is.
Well, I was going to say, it presents as a form of autism. Is that safe?
That word. Yeah.
It presents as a form of autism, but it's different. It's not a personality disorder, it's a learning disability. But what it means still is that a person doesn't really read social and nonverbal cues the same way, which to me, for a comedian, sounds like you walking through landmines, right? But so I just wanted to acknowledge that because I think that some of the awkwardness that Chris has, even when you're talking about Everybody Hates Chris and shit like that, some of the awkwardness that he has in certain spaces, and I think that's
very explainable.
Yeah, and also like comedians are just all... white comedians especially, they're just all fucking weird anyway. Mm. Black comedians aren't also, as weird and like angsty as white comedians. So that might also, like, white comedians also like serious assholes in a different way. So he just might feel more comfortable over there. What do you guys
say? It could also be why he's so good at it, because a lot of kids on the spectrum have a savant thing or a genius thing about yeah. them. It's just harder to express it to all of us.
Right. It would seem to me that it would be actually probably more beneficial for him to be able to mm-hmm. not read those cues, because it now yep. he can kind of go into material that he normally wouldn't do if he were able to read those cues.
Well, and I also think that's why the thing about Chris is that I've always found sometimes his comedy is great, but it's so hit or miss to me. Like, there's so many times when he drops something, I'm just like, that, what was that? I don't even know what that was. So yeah. I wonder sometimes if that's part of it. But I say all that to say, I think that's part of why Chris is a little bit of an outsider. I think also, I don't think people are totally like, you're not one of us, but it's kind of like, we don't all socialize. Our wives, you know, again, he's divorced from a lot, but he never even seemed like the kind of like, when he was married, it did not feel like the kind of, this is my wife, I'm holding her down. Like, we never thought Chris and Malak liked each other ever.
It was very much, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I am of a certain age. This person is of a certain societal standing.
She has good stats.
Yes, this is who, this person looks great on paper. This is who I want to have my children with. Oh. And I don't say that with any, I don't say that with any judgment.
No disrespect. A lot of people do that.
You know, and so, go ahead, Jeff.
No, I was going to say, the one last thing I want to talk about that irked me is, this, again, like you keep saying, the complexities, this really led us into the respectability thing, where there was so many black folks like, wow, we gotta do this in front of the white people, and it was dudes like posting this made us all look bad and blah blah blah, blah.
And it's like, but and it being again, and like, it being Will Packer's first time producing,
yeah, why would you do that? Exactly. And Will Packer did a great job to me regardless. It was a great,
yeah, shout out to Will and Shayla.
The show moved faster. There was funny. It was fine.
The show moved very quickly. That show was flowing. Yeah.
And I don't think this is gonna have no impact on Will Packer productions at all. He did a great job, but and I'm sure he'll get
the fact that we job. Even have to think about that is,
I hate it. It's
crazy. It's
what
crazy
makes the racism argument like so much more valid. It's like, of course, this happened to white people. That's, we don't have to think about the producer of the fucking,
yeah, the white people.
Exactly.
We know the Oscars like are going to be the same him next year.
We thinking about the MD. We thinking about fucking Regina and Wanda. Yeah. We thinking about who was doing catering shit. They all right? Like, we thinking about everybody who was in the fucking
who is crab services okay?
Yeah, what about the security? Craig and them all right?
Yeah, was Mr. Lawrence ushering
in? They gonna never let Craig do security game because they ain't tackle Will. But, you know, but I hated that it's sliding into that, because it's like, you was the same niggas wearing t-shirts last summer saying, I'm not my ancestors. So which one is it, me? Do you not care what the crackers think, or do you care what the white people think?
Listen, niggas get slapped every day, B. It just is what it is. I've moved on.
I think that what happened was inappropriate and uncalled for based on being black. Like, it isn't about the white gaze. Like, not everyone that thinks that what happened was inappropriate and not okay is somehow tap dancing, you know what I'm saying, and doing jazz, you know what I'm saying, for white acceptance, right? Like, we don't have to, you know what I mean? Like,
you don't have to pick. It's not the kind of, if you didn't think it was okay, that means you're a coon.
Yes, right. Like, you know, and furthermore, this is not what I saw. So there are different levels of slapping. Right. Yes. And this was clearly,
there are also different levels of violence, and there are different levels of slapping. Yes. And I've had problems with helping people just like violence. And I'm like, it's a slap.
It's just, yeah. Like, that was the stop fucking playing with me slap.
Yeah. It was,
stop
that
fucking
was
playing
check
with me.
Yeah.
Like, you ever be outside, okay, and you roasting a nigga that you kind of know, but you don't all the way know.
Right.
And then you do that one or two jokes that is just a little, like, you inching on the line.
On
and
the
you
edge.
See the nigga, yeah. And then you do spicy. The one or two jokes. And then he slaps the shit out of you. Okay. and it's not I'm going to beat you down. He doesn't intend to stomp you out on the curb.
No. That's a check.
It's really meant to say, it's really a line. It's literally, the slap is the line in the sand.
Yes.
You just crossed over, nigga. Stop fucking playing with me. That's
which is
really
why
what
white people
was.
Should shut the fuck up because they don't understand,
these specific
rules.
But some younger black people don't understand it either. Because one woman I know, she kept saying it could have gone so bad. Like, what if?
Well, Chris that's y'all back? Fault and y'all like, didn't put them by the whatever. Bosom and be in the barbershop and talk to these people.
But
I blame
I was
y'all.
Like, and I've had to tell a couple people this. I was like, be clear. Both of these niggas have been very rich for a very long time. They have been, they don't even have motherfuckers on the block they could call and be like, yo, roll past Will's house and spray. Nobody's interested in that. Will was not inviting Chris to a fight. That slap had a period on the end of it.
That's it.
Because it was that slap was the physical equivalent of what he said. Keep my wife's name out your motherfucking mouth. Let it be known. Let it be said. Mm-hmm. It is hereby. And I think that Will, I don't think Will snapped. I think that Will actually calculated and said, I have to do this in front of my peers.
Yes. You're not going to disrespect my wife publicly on the same stage twice.
That's
nigga.
Twice. I have to do this in front of my peers. I think he calculated it. And even though I think he felt guilty about like being a golden boy and upsetting the Academy, I don't actually think, like, I think he had to measure doing that. And I think he made that choice. And because I think he really did decide this has to be done in front of our peers. And because he was just tired of the bullshit. And this is the thing that white people who talk crazy to their parents and to all motherfucking kind of people don't understand. People are like, it's just words. No, it's not just words. There are fucking limits.
There are also natural
consequences. That is a natural consequence of you talking shit.
I also think it's fair for us to acknowledge that this was more straw that broke the camel's back and not fully calculated.
It wasn't that particular particular comment. It was
a culmination.
Led up to that.
So I'll tell a quick story. Way back in the days. I was in the mall. Mona's pregnant at the time with Justin. So this is that long ago. Justin would be 25. So I'm irritated. Okay, because I've been in the mall all fucking
day. I know that feeling.
And I'm super fucking irritated.
Aggie.
And we go, and we were like walking distance from the house, but she's pregnant, right? So we're like, all right, we'll just jump in the cab. And I'm standing there, I'm holding a bunch of fucking bags in my hand, again, irritable. And she goes to open the cab door. Dude comes and is like, that's my cab. So my head is down because I am fucking irritated. And all I hear is, take the fucking cab, bitch. And when I tell you, the next thing I remember was standing on top of him. I just remember standing on top of him screaming and him holding his face and bleeding.
Wow.
And when I bird in me just woke up.
Yes, daddy.
I fucking exploded.
Right.
And I say that to say, would I have said something to him? Absolute. Like would my reaction have been the same had I been not irritable or all of these other factors weighing in? Probably, or maybe not. Like, I don't know. I'm saying that to say that sometimes all of these other things, right? Like, there's a tension in bills, right? Like, you got this night, you know what I'm saying? You know, your career is kind of banking on this. Right. There's the tension there. You want your wife, you know, you want to make sure everything is right. And so I don't necessarily know that it was so calculated that it was just like, yo, he just probably, and I don't use the word blackout because that's a, but I'm just saying he probably locked and loaded in a way that was like, fuck it. I'm doing this right now. Today is the fucking day. Whatever my consequences are my fucking consequences. And I think that it's okay for that to happen. Like, I think we so often are extreme. Like, we talked about this with the lady at the bank. Right? Yeah. The lady at the bank, is that, yeah. It's, she got to be fired. Like, really? Right. She got to be fired, my nigga? Like, right. It, like, you want to throw, you want to take his award away, you want him to press charges, you want to, this is not an assault.
Come on, B.
First of all, LAPD, listen, if LAPD is like, look, nigga, there's nothing to see here. Right. Like, yeah. Like, clearly, when
let me get a pic for the gram, nigga. You know
right. What I'm saying? Chris declined.
Chris, assault. Even though he works and operates in a lot of those white spaces, he is still a black man. He is not going to call the police on Will Smith for no fucking smack. Right. You know, he's not going to do that. You know what I'm saying?
I would be highly surprised if he took any, because now, you know, all the white people like Jim Carrey and Judd Apatow have been like, you should sue him.
Trying to make him a hashtag.
Yeah.
Speaking of everybody, all the white people need to shut the fuck up. Alec Baldwin, kill the nigga.
That's the next
shut up.
So the one thing I wanted to get back to your point, Sean, about that with Mona, the fact that people are like, oh, it's actually like toxic masculinity that he feels like he has to defend his wife with violence. Let me tell you something. Everybody can't decide what people want as roles in their relationship, right? If a man steps to me, I'm not going to fight him. And I do believe that violence might not be the first resort, but it is sometimes an answer. Like, I'm not of the mindset that violence is never the answer. I'm more
violence was the answer.
Violence isn't the answer until it is.
Violence,
take the name out your mouth, and then they said, I'm going to. Problem
violence
solved.
Violence is never the answer until...
It is.
Violence is never the answer to people that have never actually inflicted a little bit of violence on somebody to get the results that they wanted, right? And so, yes, we understand that violence isn't the answer, and that's what we... This is where we come to with the judgment and the extremes. Like, I don't know if I've ever... I saw a fight one day, like a fucking fist fight, and it was so refreshing. Like, it was so nobody got shot. Nobody got stabbed. Nobody got shot.
Right.
Everybody got up. They licked their wounds. They went home. Okay, maybe a prize, a little damage, but like sometimes it's okay to let a little bit of that shit out. Okay, and I get that we're refined people now and we're civilized and all that shit. But sometimes you still gotta let a motherfucker know that he's not like, stop fucking playing with me.
Right.
And sometimes that's the only way to get your point across. Like, even my best friend, we have come to fisticuffs before because I had to fucking let her know to stop playing with me. That's my sister.
Words, honestly, and again, this is a cultural thing. When you can fire off words all day, right? But there ain't but so much I can say to you. At a point, it has to be a threat. Like, you have to feel like if you do the shit again,
it's consequences.
There's a consequence, right?
And repercussions.
Like, there's only certain things you can say to me that I'm not gonna react to. This is why I don't.
Right. And white people know this. That's
to punch a motherfucker when they say the N word. Right. And then
white people's version of violence. It's suing people and calling the police all the time. Our version of it is motherfucking hitting you in the face. So I'm just saying, like, so the white people now that they've actually seen a black man strike another black man in black tie and the fucking guilt and gold.
Everybody's
all of a sudden
triggered.
Will Smith has a secret history of violence. He's an abuser. He's fucking manipulative. This is the language he could have killed him.
Oh my god! The funniest shit to me was I'm sure you all saw it too. There was another clip where they showed between the commercial break.
With
Denzel
and Tyler Perry. When the stage manager, some black cat who obviously knows, it must be doing,
or like a part of the production team or something.
He knew Denzel clearly.
Yeah, like, and Pauletta
comes down off the stage and says something to Denzel's ear, and these niggas start cracking.
Well, I know Denzel was like, "Yo, I ain't know that boy had it in him. I thought they was going to get him out of here for a second." It was definitely something like that.
And then went over and hugged Pauletta, because that's Pauletta, and then they laughed a couple more times. And even with Sam, when Sam gave him the award, and
the vertical dap came from the vertical dap.
It just shows the differences and stark differences in the cultures.
Right.
Do y'all Denzel have a favorite reaction?
That was mine, Denzel and the stage manager. And Lupita. Lupita was like, oh shit, it's real.
I love Jay's traumatized face.
Beyonce was looking back at somebody like, you see this shit? Yeah, and Jay was looking at the stage like, oh shit. But my other thing is like, white people have been losing their minds, right? Because I really, and I'm just like, why can't y'all chill? There, no white people were harmed in the making of this slap. Like, why can't y'all just shut the fuck up? But I think that's actually why they want so desperately to get in on it, because the way white people have been letting off on Will, and they love Will. I'm like, and it's liberals, right? It's not even like it's the Trumpsters and shit. I'm like, y'all have been waiting for the opportunity to say vile shit about a black man and be able to say it's not racist because you're saying it in defense of another black man, right?
Well, like, all these famous white women were like, how can I make this, how can I be a victim in this situation
make this that about
nothing
me.
To do fucking with Amy me. Schumer, talking about she's still freaking traumatized.
You weren't even in the house.
Bitch, you made the joke after the... Come on, girl.
Like, production didn't even know. And this is, I'm like, y'all just mad that it happened on air. Production didn't even know it wasn't a skit until after the slap happened. Y'all are all fronting and lying and making shit up. And Jada is lost in all of it because people are blaming Jada. White women ain't said shit about Jada.
Jada, like Nene, what I got, what my name in? I'm just saying.
I mean, nobody's like, yo, I'm like, y'all gotta remember this started because Chris came out on stage and
he started to target
a woman's appearance. I thought we was all in this shit together as sisters.
I find it's very analogous. Again, very, gonna be clear, very different incident crimes, but I find it very analogous to this Will thing to OJ. In that, not very different crimes, but people, again, people who are definitely
white
younger,
people can wait.
Because people forget how big OJ was.
Yeah,
he was on television. He was did mad commercials.
He was one of the first athletes to do commercials, you know, and shit.
USC, one of the Heisman.
Your movies
had the rushing record. Like, he was a massive entity. I don't go home a star, but
which is why he can't go away now. He just can't accept that.
But it's kind of like the same thing.
Did y'all see his video?
Yes. Yeah, of course. I watch all OJ's video. I enjoy OJ on social media. I do.
But yeah, white people have out digital pitchforks. They want him arrested. They want his Oscar taken. They are, and it's scary because they don't realize how much they sound like hard right wing trolls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Trump activists. Like, you look at their page, just every other tweet, anti-Will, pro Chris, and they've been jumping in black people's conversations specifically because black people have been like, we over here talking about family shit, leave us the fuck alone.
Leave us alone.
They are so angry. But I think, like, why can't we talk about, you can't tell us because we're white, we can't have an opinion. No, you can't tell us how to frame our opinion. Y'all go
there and talk. But this is kind of on brand because the issue here, what Chris is symbolizing, their ability to use words and say shit without, you know, consequences and repercussions. Mm-hmm. And if Chris, which I think they feel like is one of theirs, right?
Yeah, kind of feels like that,
like he's one of us. If a comedian can't go on stage and say these things, then that means that I can't go on my blog and or my podcast, and I can't do, you know, I'm liable to get, because I'm going to say worse shit about lesser people than Will. So am I going to have to worry about, you know, coming out of brunch and getting the shit slapped out of me? Or, you know.
Yeah, maybe so.
I mean, you should.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So one last thing I want to say before you move on to one last thing, sorry, is that you have been able to tell since Sunday who is actually in an inner circle of black Hollywood actors and comedians and who is on the outside. Because the inner circle, with the exception of Tiffany saying, had to say one positive thing, Whoopi speaking on behalf of the Board of Governors of the Academy, and Steve Harvey on his show, motherfuckers ain't had shit to say. Even Snoop ain't posted. And Snoop talks about every goddamn thing.
Everybody.
Niggas been quiet.
Oprah said nothing. Damn, nobody.
Not Oprah, not Wanda, not motherfucking, not the people who was there. Not
Lucina. I know that Gina. I know that group chat. I know that group chat.
Bing.
I feel like they all went to Jamie Foxx's house and talked about it that night. Yeah. And we will never know. Like,
it will never
nobody
know.
Has had shit.
Jamie Foxx wasn't even there. He probably had keys to the house. He had Jamie.
Right. Exactly. That motherfucking Zoe Kravitz has gotten expelled. And
well, she said she wasn't black anyway.
I mean,
so.
Yeah,
she wasn't black anyway. Yeah,
so and I'm going to be honest. I think the reaction is really over the top. I think it's over the top. Like,
it's funny though. It's very
funny. Like, it sounded like a little bit like sarcasm, but also it was like, yes, nigga, he should not have slapped the man on the fucking stage at the Oscars. What are we arguing here?
Right.
I mean, and I'm as pro slap as they come, nigga. Right. I am pro slap.
Like, Trav said he would have slapped him backstage.
Sean, I think it was the fact that she broke rank and actually like made a comment about it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, she should not have, but also, like, you telling me that you look at her parents and you think that there's violence that occurs in
right,
these
right.
Very evil motherfuckers. They right. Living off the land. They, you know what I'm saying?
Words, husband, living
brothers. They washing all the time. Yeah,
oh, what are we talking about here? Yeah, what are we talking about?
Kind of wild over there.
No, I get it. And then who else? It was Jodie Turner, but she didn't really say anything too heavy.
Yeah, we don't. Really,
she should also be quiet.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And I'm like, y'all gotta leave.
Well,
Jabbar's an academic, and he's gonna look at.
He's sick also, everything.
Let's also couch that with he is 75
right. Years old.
He is from an era. He is from an era where he had to carry an undue burden of being perfect. He had to carry that level of perfection every step of the way, being black, being tall, being awkwardly tall. Like he's really. He's even tall amongst the tall people, right? Like, so his views to me, while they're antiquated, they're completely understandable for someone of that experience and of that age.
Yeah,
and that's why I'm like, y'all can't be coming for Kareem. But the funniest thing is that the girl, what's her name, Amanda, that nobody likes.
Oh Jesus, Amanda Seale.
Amanda Seale.
So we all know that Amanda was literally outside the Black Hollywood Club. That's not a surprise. She was literally outside.
I don't think it was. I think it is.
I know, but we know that she actually, literally, physically was.
No, outside I'm saying they couldn't get in the party.
The thing is that she makes this comment about time and place, and motherfuckers shut her down so quick because they dug out her thing about the Cardi and Nicki fight when she was like, oh, everybody like they was in couture. No, when it goes down, it goes down. Nobody cares. We don't care. And they like this, you know, like for this receipt game right now, niggas
has
fucking filing office pulling up shit on the data. She got a database and fucking research going 24/7. It's amazing. It's
you know what? Like my man said in Hangover, did you die? Did anyone die?
Right.
Okay. Then. So yeah. So you know.
But hey, peace look, to Will I'm good, and Chris.
Peace to Will Packard. He had a great show. I mean, you know, this boosted up his show. I mean, God bless.
Also, want to say peace to Coda though, because the win for Coda was beautiful.
Oh, I didn't see Coda.
Immediately forgotten.
And I liked the Asian woman who won for Minari last year, signing his name and everything.
Yeah,
That was really fly. I really liked that. I want to mention we'll talk about if y'all have seen Atlanta premiered last week.
I haven't seen a lot of people talk about it.
I watched it.
So let me maybe go on.
Yeah,
well, I watched it because I knew you were going to ask about it.
Okay,
to be alone.
Thank you, Inka. You my sister. You my sister. My baby sister.
Zenial.
Zenial, exactly.
Thank you.
And I don't know what do they call the old guys, the boomers?
You are a boomer, yeah.
Nigga, you are.
You're from the silent generation.
Yeah. I'm part of the generation with the World War II niggas. What do they call them again? The something generation? Whatever they are. Anyway,
the greatest generation. That's you.
The greatest generation, exactly. So Atlanta premiered last week. It was two episodes. they filmed this whole season in Europe. So the theme of it is about Paperboy's become obviously, you know, pretty successful, and they're doing a European tour, and it's about like a lot of their, you know, adventures in Europe. But the first episode, which I loved, that was fucking brilliant, was about the Devontae Hart, which was the black kid who had the picture hugging the policeman with the little hat on. And then we find out later that his mothers, because it was a lesbian couple that adopted him and a bunch of other black kids, they killed them. They drove their car off a cliff, and they were abusive, and they were basically just using these kids for the gram. And they did a story about a very, you know, not exactly the same, but a very similar story about a black kid in Atlanta who had beef with his mom because, you know, he didn't clean up or some shit. And then somebody called social services, and she thought he did. So she kicked him out of the house, and he ends up getting adopted into this situation. And it was very interesting. And there was a little pre-intro where it was two guys sitting in a boat in Lake Lanier. And Lake Lanier, for those who don't know, is a lake about an hour outside of Atlanta where people go, because Atlanta is obviously landlocked, so they don't have beaches. So a lot of people go up to Lake Lanier for jet skiing and stuff like that. And it's always been said that the lake is cursed because it was a black, this is true, like it was a black town, and some white folks built a dam and flooded the town. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of black people died. So in every summer, you can just look this up on Google, every summer there's always tragedies at Lake Lanier. Mm-hmm. Like people die in jet ski accidents, people just disappear. Not trying to exploit her, but, you know, God bless her. Tamika Foster, Usher's ex-wife, one of her children died there a few years ago.
Well, that was at Lake Lanier?
That was in Lake Lanier, yes. Wow. Yeah, that was in Lake Lanier in a boating accident. So these things have happening for years. So people say, I know a friend of mine who lives in Atlanta, she said that she's been to the lake and she's kind of felt almost like a pull.
Who survived like an accident or a near drowning in that lake has said they felt like someone was pulling them down deeper as they were trying to save themselves.
Exactly. So they did a thing about that at the beginning as well, which I thought was brilliant.
Sequence.
Yeah, like a dream sequence. But go ahead. What did you think about the premieres?
I hate that it was so good because I went in fully expecting to not like it because season two was so fucking wild to me. And like, we know Donald Glover is, he's been given the term like brilliant, like, he's pretty smart. I like a lot of what he does, but the second season of Atlanta lost me. It's been like 8 years since those episodes have come out. Yeah, I had no idea what I was going to come back to. So I was like, what the fuck is this? I'm going to just watch it. And so I watched it and I was like, oh, but hold on. This is super smart and I'm really into it. Yeah. Really? So I kind of like that we've, where we pick up with them. That they, you know, there has been a gap of time. Nobody is, you know, being shy about that. They didn't try to pick up randomly where they left off.
No.
It's like a good gap. And then Paperboy's character, that actor is so fucking brilliant. I forget his
name. Yeah, he's amazing. But,
Brian Tyree Henry. I really, really love, like, what he's doing with that character. And I forgot that Lakeith Stanfield was in it.
We forgot Darius.
Exciting to see Darius back. So yeah, like I like the show. I think that was weird as shit to accompany someone on a suicide. If that's what that funeral situation was.
That was supposed to be Tupac. Remember?
I can't. Yeah.
that was weird. Remember. But that was a lot. Yeah, but the show was just, and I loved the first episode how they did, you know, the meme, it was like memes, like with the kid dancing on the desk. Yeah. It was supposed to be like the kid dancing on the desk. And the kid, when his mother was like, you do all the dances, Dan. He's like, that meme and stuff. And then even with, is there spaghetti in there? Like some black shit. Like it was just, it was all these kind of social media things that they used in a very clever way, you know?
Do we think that Donald Glover's trying to remind us that he's black again?
This is my thing. I don't know if, And maybe I'm reaching. I don't know if he ever wasn't trying to be black.
Right.
But I think he wanted to raise in the Atlanta area. He's from Stone Mountain. But I think he always wanted to be bigger than that. But even listen to because I listen to Childish Gambino too, and like even some of his earlier mixtapes and stuff, they're very Atlanta, like they're very niggerish. Like he has that side to him, but he just doesn't. I think he just doesn't want to be known as just that. He's always going to be bigger, but he always comes back. I think he's always going to come back to it because that's kind of it's in his core. But he just doesn't want to be known as just the Atlanta guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I really loved the first episode though, and I love that it was a happy ending for the black children. Which always
yes, because that didn't happen in real life. What I'm saying? That didn't happen in real life. So it was nice to see that they didn't kill them off. Let's do it real quick. What are you watching?
So I didn't get to watch a lot this week, but I did start Bridgerton, season 2, which is just me getting my romance fixed. I'm into it.
Okay.
I watched Abbott last night, and I have 17 things on my list that I need to catch up on. Maryland. I went to see the Reed comedy album preview at the Kennedy Center.
Okay, how was that?
It was very cool. This is my third Reed event I've been to.
Is this like skits? So like, how do they doing it?
So they are. Their Hot Topic segment, which is what the preview was just going to be them talking about pop culture events that they wish the Reed had been around for. So like O.J. Simpson and Tanya Harding and just these making fun of kind of those incidents. And then there's also the music in there. So Flo Millie performed as a surprise for the audience. That was very cool.
I like Flo Millie.
I like her too. Mm-hmm. So that was cool. For a weekend. Issa Rae had a whole takeover of the Kennedy Center. So there was, I think, 7 events in D.C. over the weekend of like her record label and artist.
Oh, her label. Yeah.
All of that. So that was cool and very black and like the dose of blackness I needed to come back to this ashy ass town.
Bro, what you watching?
I've been watching. I just been kind of. Binging on Discovery Plus True Crime. They have these really cheap reenactment things, right? So I've been looking at Who Did I Marry, right? Like it's like these weird things. Oh, you ended up marrying somebody who was a bank robber or a So it's cheap. It's cheap television, easy to watch. I'm pretty sure if they made these into movies, you'd love them. you'd be on TV one all day. and my YouTube stuff. I go in there, man. Still learning how to make me a hog and all that stuff.
Do you watch that show, the Art Fennel? Do you watch him now?
No, I don't. I'll just literally kind of put it in there to like see different techniques. Not getting one particular technique, I'll kind of bounce around. Because there are obviously different ways that they make barbecue, right?
Yeah, of course.
Texas and versus Memphis versus
Kansas City or whatever.
I'm trying to get a little bit of taste of all of it.
You should check the Art Fennel channel out though, because this is so black and country, and these niggas have whole like setups of like how they. You just gotta watch it. And then they're in South Carolina. They're in South Carolina too. It's just really. You should check. If you ain't got nothing to do one day, just because he posts videos all the time. His videos actually get really big numbers. He'd be doing 500,000, 700,000. Yeah, he's doing numbers on his shit. So, Nye, what you watching?
So I watched. Sorry, I got popcorn in my mouth. I watched The Dropout, which is the Elizabeth Holmes Theranos joint last week. It's all right. It's a good binge joint. That bitch is crazy. She's nuts.
I remember the documentary, yeah.
I'm already using the same. And We Crashed, which is the WeWork joint, is up now.
How was that?
I haven't started it yet.
Oh, that's the Jared Leto joint, right?
Yeah. And I'm watching this other joint, but I don't know if I'm going to mention it because I don't know if it's worth recommending yet. I need to give it one more episode. It's called, well, it's called Shining Veil, and it's Courtney Cox and Greg Kinnear. Yeah. Courtney Cox and Greg. Is he Greg Kinnear? I think it's Greg Kinnear. They're a couple who moves from the country to Connecticut into a haunted house. After Courtney Cox's character has an affair. So it's got moments, but I'm not sure if I feel strong enough.
Sure if it's fire yet.
Yeah.
Okay. I watched this series, a Korean series called Juvenile Justice. It's about this judge who is young, well, not young, but this woman judge, and it's about just, you know, I guess in like Seoul, Korea is a big ass city, so they have a lot of, you know, crime like any other big ass city. So, but this is scripted, it's not unscripted, and it's about these juveniles, but they focus all on juvenile crime. I think it's all based on kind of things that happen around Korea. It's a pretty good, pretty interesting series. I watched that. I just watched the first episode of Moon Knight, which is the Disney Plus joint.
How is
I watched that today. It was all right. I mean, Oscar Isaac stars in it. Old girl from Top Boy, one of the people from Top Boy is in there too. This kind of just gave us a bit of backstory, and then we see Moon Knight at the very end. It was cool. Well, like,
it's a weekly.
Yeah, it's a weekly. It's a weekly joint. Okay. It's a series. So I'm gonna stick to that. And then I just got to mention my own shows. Marry Me was pretty brutal this week.
I missed it. It's on my list. Don't tell me that.
Okay, no spoils. But it was tough. It was tough. It's tough to watch. I Put a Ring on It came back on.
I saw that happened.
Put
too.
A ring on it.
Listen, do you know why I wasn't watching TV?
Why?
Your child?
Because it was my birthday.
Oh shit.
So
that's right.
My girlfriends did the birthday thing for me this past weekend. Because everybody had COVID in January.
Right. So, this is your birthday redo.
This was my birthday.
You just confused the shit out of me. Because I was like,
I know.
This is your birthday. Okay.
But listen, they, you know,
happy birthday again.
We had a 2-day slumber party. We did food festival. And then that's ended it with the going to see the read, which was like.
Okay. So you had a great weekend.
Oh, yeah, the Kennedy Center.
I did.
You deserve. Happy birthday. Late weekend birthday.
Listen, we celebrating 40 all year. Fuck it.
Why not?
Speaking of messy shows, the people who created Love at First Sight had that show, The Ultimatum. It starts, I think, this weekend or next week.
It comes out
on Netflix again.
Yeah.
Netflix. Okay.
Netflix.
Ink. I thought about you because you know what? I finally started to watch. I was bored the other day, and I just dug into the first couple episodes. The last season of Welcome to Plattsville. I never watched it.
Oh, yeah. I think I watched like the first four, and then I forgot about it.
Yeah, I started to watch it. It's pretty intense.
It is. They hate each other.
They hate each other. Yeah, your man Ethan is a different person. He literally, when you show clips of him from before, he's literally a different person. I'm like, yo, what happened to that guy?
He grew up in that year, for sure.
He grew up like a motherfucker.
Old girl was going to leave. So,
he hated his wife. He don't fuck with his parents. Like he going through it, B. Okay. Last thing I wanted to mention was your man Eric Adams, bro. Like I don't know what's happening here, but this isn't looking good. So he goes, he cleans out. Apparently there's at least 150 homeless encampments throughout the city, which is troubling in and of itself that it's that many homeless encampments throughout the city. So he's decided to clean them up, like there's no real plan. There's no real services for the people to go to. There's just the shelters, which are basically going to prisons, are very dangerous. So he just goes out and just has people from sanitation taking his people's stuff and like throwing it, there's footage of this, throwing it in the back of sanitation trucks. The first night that this happens, he's actually at a Wells Fargo dinner with ASAP Rocky performing, like in this picture of him, like kind of bobbing. So it's like, nigga, like how evil are, like, they're literally, like, throwing people's stuff out on, you know, into garbage, and you out here with a tux on, with a suit on.
This is what I mean by he is not a bright man, in my opinion. And I mean, like, he doesn't really kind of see a whole picture. And what he does is very cop-like, which is like presenting any problem, every problem, the solution is force.
Yes.
And there is no, and there's, you know, he has no diplomatic way of trying to deal with people and what optics is and what that looks like. Now, I know we use the word optics a lot, and we tend to think that, you know, they're not really that big a deal. They're kind of a big city deal. That matters. Yeah. Okay. And you can't just be out here. So I do think that there is some points about those encampments not being mm-hmm. very safe.
Yes.
There are some points about them not being very healthy.
Yeah, sanitary and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Sanitary and things of that nature. So that is valid. But to simply just, you know, rip that apart with no, you know, with seemingly no answer, right? Like,
and no regard for humanity.
And I want to be clear. I'm not throwing this at the feet of Mayor Adams to fix homelessness. That is not a realistic or fair thing to do. But I'm saying there has to be a plan in action, and it has to be something that you are allowing these people to just take their, they have few things that are theirs, and to take them and literally throw them in the trash is just fucking wild.
It's so inhumane. Like, it's awful.
And yeah. And this is, even when he talks about the getting back to work, everything is him chastising. It is very cop-like. Mm-hmm. Move off the sidewalk. Move. Go. You know, do as I say, with no real, I don't want to say nuance, but there's no savvy to him. Everything mm-hmm. is like, he's not like a hot knife through butter. Everything is difficult for him.
Right.
Everything is like, he makes these things to be, like, to me, like, my guy, you are at a party with Wells Fargo for why? What is your benefit as the mayor of the city to be at this party? For one, a notoriously racist bank, and two, one that is absolutely non-compliant on all things. And three, this is a party about a way for you to get points on your credit mm-hmm. card to pay your rent. What yeah. the fuck are we talking about here?
Why are you throwing people shit in the garbage?
And this is why, and I joke a lot, you know, and I call him Duffel Bag Boy, because I know he's been getting, you know, the realtor's been dropping off the duffel bags for him. You know what I'm saying? Fort Lee E. He got a chill. Man.
Fort Lee E.
Like, yo, you gotta, yeah. yo, he's got no, I'm really fascinated, and I'm going to love in 10 or 12 years when we get the actual sort of documentary, the real 30 for 30 about this admin, these motherfuckers yeah. start talking and getting to it. Because he's probably going to win again.
Yeah, you think so?
Because even with all of this shit, if he can stand on getting crime numbers down, he'll probably win again.
And that's the thing. I don't know if I haven't checked, but it doesn't feel like the crime numbers are going down. That's the issue. It's like it's still a mad violence in the streets and all that. Like, I mean, you know.
Well, yeah,
I don't know.
There's going to be a trickle effect. And there's going to be, you know, he just brought out those the jump out boys. He just brought that unit back.
I saw that.
Definitely
going to see snapping fresh.
Plus drones.
Yeah, he brought it back.
Yeah, so you wow. got drones, you got the increased presence.
It's not just slap and frisk, Inka. We call them the jump out boys because they can literally roll up on you and just hop out.
Yeah, they
just
roll up. They roll up. And
just slam you up against the wall.
Slam you up.
Yeah, you used to be walking down the street with a snap on hand.
These are not even.
That sounds like hell.
These are plainclothes. Yes. These are plainclothes cops. They always, they target very specific areas. And again, I don't want to pretend like crime is not a thing. Like, I don't want to make it seem like niggas are not out here wilding, because they absolutely the fuck are. Okay, yes. Running up in old folks' homes and robbing, you know, old ladies. Like, even the basic rules of engagement are wrong. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I hate to say it, but like, just go rob a nigga for his Jordans. Like. 1992, like, yeah. Why, yeah. you know, yeah.
Yeah, he's like Bro said, he's living like a bull in China, and that's a great analogy. He is like a cop, because I mean, I'm sure some cops like this in other cities too, but in New York, like, you could be standing there and they're just like, you know, used to be like, they'll just run up on you and tell you, well, you know, move out the corner. It's like, I'm just waiting for the bus, man. Like, I'm not bothering.
Yeah, nobody. They don't,
like,
yeah.
Move anyway. Like, whatever, what the fuck? Like,
just move because I said so.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, then it's like, just, like, I said it. Do something.
Yeah, but like, he wants to, like, my man, you are not a cop in this back to work thing. I understand you want the city to have life. We all want the city to have life. We understand that. But mm-hmm. you sitting at home trying to chastise people and making them feel bad is not going to work. And the fact that you think that that's going to work as a politician, as a person, like, where are your fucking tax incentives? Where are your fucking program? Where are your, exactly. your rent stabilization? Like, where can people get this information? How are you helping to get the city back in motion? Are you giving people deals on coming back into the office? Or you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Do something.
Nah, I'm sorry.
Here's the first month. You don't have to pay for transportation. So anything, nigga, anything. Yeah. If the goal is to get people
to him, it's just like, go back to work, because we need you to go back to work. I don't give a fuck how it happens, but just go back to work. It's like, that ain't realistic, bro.
The only plan he has.
I need my workers to get back to work. I need my whatever the fuck. Shut up.
It's not yours.
The only plan he has is about crime and how he can benefit from real estate.
Yep. So I don't know. This ain't going good, man. And this homeless thing is, again, it's not his fault that this homelessness has reached this level. But for him to just like discard 150
encampments
out of the city is crazy.
De Blasio, all of them have had a hand because they have done nothing but hot potato with the houseless population in New York City. They move them from space to space. It used to be by the Port Authority. They run them out of the Port Authority. They shift them downtown to the Christian Street area. They move them from there. They shift them to another. You know, it's just a constant. So basically, wherever there's a hole in the ground and beams are going up, they're getting ready to move them homeless people to fuck up out of there.
Yeah, out of there. Exactly. So it's a terrible mess. So I just wanted to mention that. We'll wrap it up after that. Y'all got anything else?
Nope. Nothing I can remember.
Okay. Boogie, I'll keep back in 2 weeks.
Oh, hey. Shit. I got rehearsals. I got to get my rehearsals. Show me the best combination.
We're going to be in Denver. I would totally come, though.
I wish you could. I know. I was thinking about that. But you're going to be in Denver in 2 weeks. You're going to get the house?
We got to look at some joints. Yeah.
Some real estate. Oh. Check out some shit.
I'm so excited.
I know you are. Some backyards and all that shit. Popping.
Countertops.
Send Sean some pictures about the cabin space.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be like, hey, you ever seen a compressor like this? I don't like it.
I'm going to be calling you, Sean. I'm about to put up some extra shelves in my pantry because there's shelves on each side. I want to put a connecting shelf like the
U joint. Okay.
Yep. I might be calling. I went and got my lumber the other day. The white man was trying to laugh at me at Lowe's. I was like, I have a what you call it, miter saw. I was like, I could just take
you. You're a country girl.
My daddy's
from what kind of wood did you get?
I just got pine.
Okay.
Yeah. And I have a bread nailer gun. I'm good.
You ready?
Good to go.
this section of old nigga podcast.
word. We're gonna wrap it up on that note. Y'all be safe out there, and we'll see y'all next week.
Later. Peace. Bye.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast.